congratulations, you have won the blue ribbon.
That's great. The blue ribbon for what?
All you need to know is you came in first place.
First place? Wow. But what did I win it for, Rashi?
Well, Dad, that is my little secret.
Was it for a good thing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was for a great thing, Dad. Okay. You should be very proud to be Lemon Face Sour Puss of the Year.
Oh, Lemon Face Sour Puss
yes,
of the Year.
Yes, congratulations. Big round of applause. Yay.
I hope it comes with a generous check.
It does. It comes with a colonoscopy.
Well, that's a check of sorts. You know, it's hard not to be a sour puss when I talk to you, Rashi.
Oh, Dad, when life hands you lemons, make me a pie.
Hi, this is Paul Dini.
This is Misty Lee, and I have no idea what just happened in here.
All I know is we're having lemon meringue pie now, apparently.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Rashi's lemon meringue pie. When life gives you lemons, make pie.
Yes.
He just wants to throw that in your face.
Well, he does want to throw it in your face. I took it away. I seized it from him. And so now we can enjoy lemon meringue pie.
So we had Peter here this weekend, and I just looked at this. We've got this enormous gift basket that Trisha Lasky and I won at the fair for Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this first grade basket, action and superheroes. And what happened was there's a local Catholic church that was having a carnival, and they had like a silent auction, which was a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And this basket is what would you say? It's about 5.5 feet high.
5.5 feet high. It's like the size of a good sized Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
And loaded with superhero toys.
And yeah. Superheroes, there's Spider-Man, Batman, Hulk, Avengers. I mean, Playmobil stuff with knights.
Iron Man
is in
Legos,
there.
Everything.
I mean, they've even got the Real Steel robots in there. There's so much stuff, from Band-Aids to backpacks to towels to masks to action figures. It's all in there. Games. There's some Batman Brave and Bold DVDs. I mean, just tons of stuff. But anyway, the reason I brought that up is because Peter, our nephew, who's 9, was here this week, and he walked into the living room and he saw it. And Paul said, "We should really put that upstairs so it's not to tease the child."
Yeah.
And I said, "No, I think he'll understand. I'll just tell him that it's yours, right?" So the kid walks in and his hand flies over his heart and tears well up in his eyes, and he says, "I don't know how to begin to thank you guys." But and I said, And I said, "Pete," I said, "that's your Uncle Paul's." And he goes, "Oh, okay then."
So he thought all the swag was for him, huh?
He thought, and he started making an Oscar speech. Like, I don't know where it came from, but music swelled up from the hallway, and he just hand over his heart like he was pledging allegiance, and he was just about to pledge your allegiance.
It is kind of a remarkable item.
It is indeed.
You know, if I had walked into my Uncle Bill's house and I saw all the stuff, cool stuff that I love, that I thought it could only be for me. And he said, "Oh no, those are my toys."
Mm-hmm.
This voice in my head would have gone, trauma at an early age. He's never
got
over it.
Oh, I think Pete did just fine.
Well, he's getting, a lot of the kids are getting this stuff for Christmas. We're going to break it down, wrap it up, and give it to the kids for Christmas.
Because
we have so many nieces and nephews.
Yeah, we should probably make a list and let the kids parcel it up amongst themselves. Okay, who wants the Spider-Man? What is that, battle challenge?
Oh, I want that.
Christmas
Paul wants that. See, the problem, well, not really, because if you make a list for your aunt and uncle and you kind of know what they're getting you, you can be excited about anticipating it. You know, it's like, "Oh man, I hope I get that Barbie dream house," you know, which is not in the basket.
Well, it goes both ways. Like when I was a kid, I would be surprised by certain things that I had no idea was coming. And then I would want certain things so badly that if I didn't have them, I would explode, and I had to.
Dino the dinosaur! Oh, I told you.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks, Rashi. You know,
I can't bring up Christmas without Sourface Lumipus getting his blue ribbon and whining.
I like the Dino the dinosaur. We should have Dino the dinosaur on the show. Rashi, go over to the closet and get Dino the dinosaur out of the closet.
You go over to the closet and get in it.
That doesn't make any sense.
You don't make any sense.
All right, okay. I don't think he likes Dino the dinosaur.
I don't think he's a fan, no.
He chased him around on the floor one day.
It did, and it screams.
It screams. It makes
did it scream when you were little, or is that just because it's an old toy?
No, it sort of
and
made
it's going,
a hooting.
"Kill me!"
No, it rattles and whines, and it makes like a hooting noise. I guess like the little horn that goes off, boop, the beginning of the Flintstones, you know?
No, it doesn't. It screams.
It's an old Jeff.
It's supposed to go, yeah.
Right? It doesn't even do that.
Yeah.
It just screams.
What this is an old toy from like 1962. It's like 50 years old. It's a big purple dinosaur. And back then, the merchandising on the shows was very strange. It wasn't as specific and detailed as it is now. They took two ideas and ran them together. One was the Brontosaurus that Fred is on at the beginning of the show. You know, that he has that little the little canopy up there, and he sits in there and he operates it like a steam shovel. They took that and they combined it with the look of Dino the Dinosaur, and they gave it the name Dino the Dinosaur. So it's like, as a kid, you had to suspend what you knew about the show. Okay, Dino is his pet. He doesn't ride around to Dino at the office, but they just combined the two so that it's the one he has at the gravel pits combined with Dino at home. And it does make kind of a weird little screamy noise as he runs around on it. Because these were Mark's toys. They took like 16D batteries to operate them, and then they ran out of power almost immediately.
Yeah.
And Dino spins around on the floor.
Once, and then he dies because batteries are dead.
Yeah, he hits something and goes off in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Like your Bop-a Bear.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you just rewire it with a car battery?
And you kind of need to.
Yeah, and you could probably ride it down the street. But I wanted that as a kid because I told my mom, you know, like, Fred lowers his mouth up and down, so in theory, Dino could pick things up around the house.
Oh, that's a really valid argument.
Yeah.
It will make your life easier, Mom.
It's like, okay.
All kids try that crap, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You still try that on me.
Of course.
I will fold the laundry if we do this. I don't think so, buddy.
My birthday's coming. I got to be inventive, you know,
birthday, you can have whatever you want for your birthday. You were such toys. A good boy this year.
Was I?
Uh-huh. Well, you always are.
Thank you.
Yesterday, we were getting out of the car, and he looked at me, and I don't know what I said to him. I said something like, rah, rah, rah. And he said, I am a nice man. And I said, yes, you are.
I'll stick it up for myself.
He was so defensive, and he was like, no, but I am a nice man. And I said, wow, that does not sound like something a man would say.
Yeah. Sounds like something a child would
say. A nice
say.
Man would say, yes.
Sure, sure.
I am a nice man. You know,
I am a nice man. It was so cute. And it's honest. And he is, you know?
There are two G. Willikers.
Exactly.
There are two kinds of men who would say that. One is a legitimately nice man who's sticking up for himself. The other one is a not-so-nice guy who's trying to entice somebody over to his windowless van, perhaps. I don't know. Oh. Like, well, stay away from that.
Wow, good for you.
Well,
Ruth posted a picture of a van on my Facebook for Unicorn Wednesday that was a Gladiator Terminator-type person with a Boba Fett helmet and, like, just a machine gun and a machete riding a unicorn over a rainbow.
Was this on the side of the van?
It was on the side of the van. And then the actual window in the back of the van was heart-shaped. And I said to her, I said, guys, I wrote on my Twitter feed, I said, guys, check out my sweet new ride. Get in the back and I'll give you some free candy. I was like, terrible. Like, you expect the van itself to have a skeevy porno stash.
Totally.
It's like, oh man, that's just bad.
That's a stoner makeout van. You know, inside, you know.
I don't know if anybody could get a girl in a van with that painting on the side.
I don't know.
Unless it was me, a girl driving it. Because I would totally drive that van.
I think
the van was purple, too.
I don't know.
It's pretty excellent.
It's just like you grew up in California, but I saw a lot of guys who would never read a comic book, who would never go to see Lord of the Rings, had it been made at that time, with the barbarians painted on their van because there was something about it that just, you know, and these were guys who trolled around for girls and they had like...
Trolled around for girls!
Makeup.
Like they hang a line with a pair of nice heels out the back of the car and the girls bite.
Well, no, you
and
know...
And they reel them in, you know? It's like, let's put
six packs, you know?
Lobotans and hang them out the back... Six packs of what?
Beer.
Girls don't come. That's a dude thing. If you really want to troll for girls, like a fisherman,
white Zinfandel.
You need to put, well, there's
what,
that.
A cup of Manolo Blahnik?
You need to not say it like that.
What is it pronounced?
Manolo Blahnik.
Manolo Blahnik. I had to write an act of an episode of Lost about a pair of
shoes.
Manolo Blahnik.
Oh, for Shannon.
Shannon, yeah. Yeah, Carlton Cuse gave me this chapter of a goes, well, Saeed's giving her this pair of shoes. And it's like, Manolo Blahnik, is that real stuff? And he goes, yeah, those are shoes. Those are really expensive.
Very expensive shoes. So Dr. Like, Von Kluge gave me a pair of hand-me-down Blahniks once.
Oh, yeah.
They used to, I guess, and I've never watched the show, not even once. Sex and the City, they used to carry on about that brand specifically.
Okay.
I will never forget watching that. We watched like maybe 30 seconds of it once and we were both fighting for the remote to change the station. And he said, my word, it's like a bunch of lizards sitting there talking about what pair of shoes they're going to put on next. And
it was just,
It was hysterical.
At the Museum of Natural History in New York, they have this diorama of stuffed Komodo dragons ripping apart, I don't know, a deer or a wild pig or something. And that reminds me of those women sitting down and having their mimosas and talking about men and shoes and
see,
everything.
See, when my
like
girlfriends
that.
Get together, we talk about classy things like pee and raccoons. Yeah. Isn't that what we carried on about
yeah,
during that one
that
podcast that we hid?
Yeah.
Renee was asking me about that the other day. She said, whatever happened to our podcast? And I said, oh, it's hidden. And Ruth said, no, I heard it. She said, yeah. It's back up. I don't want them listening
it
to it.
It was, I think.
Yeah. You might be able to find yeah. it, but I don't encourage it. It's pretty crass. But anyway,
I just you know, the whole shoe culture, I don't get it, you know. When mm-hmm. guys talk about shoes, it's usually like, my shoes hurt.
It's
take
where
them
are
off.
My shoes, yeah. is what it is.
It's either take off your shoes or put them back on, your feet stink, or where are my shoes?
Right.
And just the fact that the guy thought to put on shoes that day, never mind what kind they are, who made them.
Yeah.
Just, it just, you know, it baffles most men. But,
yeah.
But women can sit down, and some men also
I don't sit down and talk about shoes.
And have a long, spirited discussion about shoes.
Oh, we do not have long, spirited discussions
about shoes. I said some men and some women. Not all.
So, how you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
I am well. Super busy.
You are busy. You're working all over the place.
I know. I can't even help it. Like, we're supposed to go away tomorrow.
Monday night, you were off in Hollywood Boulevard doing street magic.
That was working the street.
Working the street.
Turning tricks. All right, then.
Wow.
Auditioning for a new TV pilot.
Yep. Auditioning for a new TV pilot. That's what that was. And I got a call from the producer today. They were pleased with what we did. And he said, that's, you know, we wanted to see you interacting with human beings and being a human being who is decently skilled at what she does. And mm-hmm. we saw all of those things. And mm-hmm. he said, you look personable and approachable. And if we're going to make a deal, you'll hear from us tomorrow. So that's exciting.
Yay.
By the time this airs, I'll know whether or not I'm going to be on the show. I was one of the top six. So even if I don't make it on, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's nice to get that far, you know, because like
definitely.
I'm going, like they put my name in front of network this afternoon.
Wow.
And so that's cool, you know, and you go, wow, and I know what it pays, and they gave me, you know, like the deal memo over the phone, and, you know, we discussed logistics and stuff like that. I can't say anything about the show or even what channel it's going to be on, although I know. Because A, it may not end up being my show, and B, I may end up having to sign an NDA and violating it preemptively here. So, but that was exciting. So Monday we shot Street Magic. I've done tons of voiceover work, and tomorrow morning I have another session for DirecTV.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. So I'll be working with them all day tomorrow, and then we're off for the weekend for Mies Thardini's birthday.
Birthday.
Yes.
Doing little or nothing. Just relaxing, going away and relaxing.
Spending a lot of time at the spa.
Sounds
great.
I love just going to the spa and doing nothing.
Yeah.
Just swimming for an entire day.
Trolling for women with your high heels on a string.
No, I'm not trolling in the water
impressed.
For that.
What? If you did that, I'd be impressed with you.
What if I tied a fishing line onto a pair of shoes and used those as
just
as
threw it into the pool?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's a good way to destroy shoes, from what I
Blahniks for sure. Do you remember that pair of Blahniks that Dr. Von Kluge that I just mentioned a minute ago gave me? I wore them outside once and they got wet on the bottom.
Oh,
and the bottoms of the shoes are made of like particle board or I don't Bristol
cardboard.
Board
yeah,
it's seriously like I don't know what it is, but you can't get them wet. And I thought, why are they shoes? That's gloves. You know, it's like, what's going on? But I am not made to wear expensive shoes.
There are only two, and
Zappos sells expensive stuff. I just do not buy it.
There are only two kinds of shoes to men. There are sexy shoes, which are, you know.
How many pairs of sexy shoes do you own, Paul?
I mean, like dress shoes or something.
Right? No,
I think he's talking about for women.
For women. Men notice, like, okay, as far.
Your first little crush when you were a little boy was on a pair of shoes.
What?
Nancy Sinatra. These boots are made for walking.
Oh, yeah. That's,
you were like, hey,
she's
kind of pretty.
Yeah.
I asked him, I said, what was your first crush? And he said, that's the first one I remember, is watching her on TV and sort of being mesmerized and thinking, that's pretty. And then going, oh, I think girls are pretty. You know, it was like one of those things. Like, it was so, little Nancy Sinatra.
Yeah, I was playing in the family room. And then that was like one of the first music videos was her doing that. And I remember the song started up and they had that downbeat that goes, that sounds weird and dangerous. And I look around and out comes this babe in miniskirt and boots. And I'm going like, wow, that's pretty interesting. I've never seen that before. Like never quite, you know, you have little inklings of stuff, but then suddenly it's on TV and I don't want anybody else in the room. I just sort of want to look at that. Like, what is, wow, that's kind of a good song. So whenever... I was listening. I'd be listening to the radio, and I'd hear that. I'd be like, "Oh man, it's going to be that song again." And one of our relatives, I was over at a relative's house, and they had that album. You know, uh-huh. with her lying there wearing the stripy shirt and kind of going like this, and with her legs kicked up, showing off her boots. And I'm going like, "Wow, that's like so that sexy." And I was going, "So for this guy, it was like that was Shoes I noticed, and then there was everything else which I didn't."
So that whole roundabout story was to say there's two kinds of shoes to guys. Sexy shoes you look at and all the other shoes in the world.
Yeah.
Good point.
Like when you come in and you are...
Good story, Paul.
When you come in and you're dressed up to do the seance and you are wearing the goth look and then you're putting on the high boots, like the lacy up boots.
Those Victorian boots I have?
Yeah.
You like those?
Yeah.
I didn't know you liked those. Those aren't tall boots though. They're just shorty ankle boots.
No, sometimes you wear like the real tall, like the knee high ones.
Not when I do seances.
I remember seeing him under there sometime, and
you know what? You have your fantasy, and that's fine. Okay. Well, but I'm telling you what I wear, and you know it's not my intention to dissolve anything. But you're wrong.
I don't know what I don't know what it is,
and
maybe it comes from a diet of steady superhero costumes. You know, and
could be,
and because that's all the girls in comic books. You know, like all you know.
I feel like we should move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting a bit fetishistic, but. Uh-huh.
What else are you doing?
What else am I doing? Working.
Yeah, hard.
Just on everything.
You've got a lot of really cool stuff going on.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, you're developing so many of your own properties and stuff. He had a great meeting today. Excited. You know?
I'm really going to move ahead with a lot of my own creations in a certain way and mm-hmm. Certain direction. It'll take a while, but I like that. And still having tons of fun on Spider-Man, Hulk. Hulk just scratched the surface of Hulk. Man, mm-hmm. having a lot of fun.
When does that come out?
Next year. I can't be more specific because I don't know.
That's totally fair. Yeah. I just wondered like when could they look forward to it because I'm actually looking forward to seeing it. You know, because like it's so funny and he'll come home and he'll be like, oh, this happened at the session today, and I'm like, bah, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And just like I haven't seen an animatic or anything that he's working on, but that show, it just sounds amazing.
I can't go into detail.
Even
I can't
less
talk.
About it, and all I know is the title, really. And I just, my mind is just swimming with ideas of what it could be, and I can't wait.
Have you announced your cast for that yet?
No, I can't even talk about the cast yet.
Oh, terrible,
so,
terrible.
No. I mean, if you hunt around online, you can probably, there have been enough hints dropped and that you could probably figure it out, but... I can't make an official
statement. No, that's fair. It's not your announcement to make. I just thought it might be out by now. I thought they would announce it at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I'm just in this long stretch where I'm not promoting anything because nothing's really coming out. And the stuff I do have lined up is far away. I guess the next thing I have coming out as far as a book comes would be the Zatanna Black Canary book.
Oh, wow. That's been a long time.
And I don't
know
where that is, but I've seen most of Joe Quinones' art for it, and it's spectacular.
Yeah, you've been really pleased.
It's really fun, great personality artwork, and just had a tremendous time drawing that. I mean, writing that. And that'll, again, that's probably next year. And a lot of stuff.
Fishnet team up,
yeah.
Super fishnet team up.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun because that is, it's really kind of old school DC and a little bit, you know, harkens back to kind of a more innocent era and a story about those characters and why they've been friends for all these years. So that's fun. And the video games, nothing on the video game front. I actually posted something on my Twitter a couple of weeks ago saying that I, you know, now that it's the Olympics, I wished I was doing another Rocksteady game because it would be fun to, you know, like work on the game during the day and then go see the Olympics at night or something like that. But most everybody I know over at Rocksteady was saying, we're renting out our house over the Olympics. We're getting the hell out of town. We don't want to be anywhere near this.
Yeah, and I imagine it's just a storm over there of people and everything. It's
madhouse.
Crazy.
Paul Crocker was saying, like, oh, I can't wait to get out of town for the Olympics. I'm not going anywhere near it, you know. And I thought, well, there's, you know, at the time they announced the Olympics, or I became aware that that's, you know, this was really going to happen, I was spending a lot of time in London, so it was very familiar to me. And I thought, I wouldn't mind going to see one or two events. I've never really been to the Olympics before. I've always been in cities like I was in LA when they had them here like 30 years ago, but I didn't go.
You have to put your name in for a lottery, don't you? Isn't that how it works?
I guess, but then I do know people in London, and I do have good sources for tickets, and you know I can get stuff. But then I also saw like people were just sitting out in the bleachers with nobody around them, and I said like, what? They couldn't get anybody in for the, you know, archery exhibit or whatever. They're just empty seats, so you must be able to get them.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very easy to get them if I was over there. But as it turns out, there was no game to work on this year, so nothing's going on.
Right.
So I'm staying here and...
watching them on television.
Watching them on television. I'm not even watching them on television.
No, you're not. I'm actually surprised you've spoken as much about them as you have.
You watched that crazy opening ceremonies, though?
He loved it.
Well,
he's given me a play-by-play yelling at his desk because I was working on something, mm-hmm. and he's going, blah, blah, blah. Hey, that's obscure. Look at that. Look at that.
I'm yeah, they had the child catcher from from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
And I'm going, the child catcher from that awful movie? And apparently, I heard from some folks in England, it's like, oh, yeah, they show that movie every Christmas, and we were all afraid of the child catcher. And I said, wow. I hated that movie. I can't believe you made that much of an impression. And they had like a giant inflatable Lord Voldemort.
That got attacked by Mary Poppins.
An army of Mary Poppins.
Get it.
Poppinses.
Poppinses,
yeah,
or Popeyes,
nice.
Or yeah. Poppin'eyes.
Yeah, I don't watch television, but yeah. I was at a bar when that was airing, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought my brain exploded.
You were like, how drunk am I?
Yeah, there was too much stuff going on.
Who put a roofie in here? What is that?
I just wanted to see this plane, you know, inside, you know, Poppinses, jump! Them all coming over with their umbrellas.
Didn't I hear that the Queen came in?
The Queen parachuted out of a plane with James Bond.
No,
not really, but, you know, the trick.
So it wasn't really the Queen?
No.
No, they made it look like she was doing it.
Oh. Yeah. It was a magic trick.
Well, it was just editing because what the shots of James Bond and the Queen were during the day and the Olympics were at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
That took her a long time to get to the ground. How old is that lady? We had to go real slow so she didn't break her hip. Okay.
It was fascinating though because the
That's
Queen
really funny.
Looked like her hair was wind tussled when she came out onto the field. It was
That's
kind of funny.
They actually paid attention to detail. Somebody was like, no, they're going to believe you did this.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
I like the audiences.
That is hysterical.
I like the audiences of Mary. I like the troop of Mary Poppinses.
That was amazing.
And it was weird because I had just read the latest League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And if you've read the latest installment of that, and you kind of know what I'm talking about, kind of like the 11th hour who saves the day, but
interesting,
you know,
it was me,
a very similar thing.
Me.
Yeah,
Alan Moore was like, you know what we really need is a little bit of Misty Lee right here.
Yeah,
that did
yeah.
not happen. That is not true. But
you know, I never liked the movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Did
you
like
mentioned
it?
That I also loved... you didn't care about the child catcher, nor did you fear it like the Londoners.
No, but that's because I liked the book. You know, we read the book when I was a kid.
Okay.
It was a chapter book. It was written by Ian Fleming. It was written by the guy who created James Bond.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And what happened was the child catcher is not a character in the book. He was created for the movie. And I remember when I went to see the movie, I was so excited because I loved the book so much. And the book was set in contemporary England, so in the early 60s. And it was about a crazy inventor who made this flying car. And he made it on purpose. It wasn't like the car made itself. And he did all these fantastic things. And then he fights this gang of gangsters. There's like a comical gang of gangsters that would be right out of Batman or Dick Tracy. And those are the adversaries in the book. You know, they're these tough, sleazy little gangster guys. And so I'm watching the movie and I'm going like, okay, it's sitting around the turn of the century. It's Mary Poppins time now. And everybody's wearing long clothes, long dresses, and big weird hats, and everybody's singing, and these songs go on forever, and now they're in Europe, and now there's Boris and Natasha guys, and now there's this guy collecting children. I don't know. Benny Hill's here, too. Why is Benny Hill in the movie? I wouldn't know for years and later that it was actually Benny Hill in the movie playing the old toy maker, and I just thought the movie stank, and I remember it was Christmas. We were in Boston. We'd come to Boston for Christmas. And I'm watching this movie. And this movie feels like it's going on for days. Mm-hmm. And I want to leave. And I want to do something, anything else. I want to just go stand in the snow. I don't want to watch another second of this movie that is just... It was the first time I ever was aware that I was watching a bad movie as a kid.
Interesting. Boy, lots of first times for you.
Yeah.
It's the first time podcast. Is this 100? Is this episode 100?
No. We got 90.
I was going to say, man, that would be a good one. First time everything. First time this, first time that. First time you ate corn salsa. It was the first time, you know, just like, that was random. Yeah. But first time I ever ate corn salsa, I have never, ever. So it hasn't happened
yet. Did you like it?
I didn't eat it.
You want some? We have some in the other room.
Not interested. Today's not that day.
Okay. All right.
I'm not a salsa fan. I don't like Mexican food. Do you like Mexican food?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Emily had her first baby, Ruth, a few weeks ago.
I thought you were going to end that sentence. I thought you were saying Emily had her first baby.
No, Ruth.
And I was going to say,
baby Ruth.
Yeah. She's never had that candy bar out of all the
and
candy
And she loved it.
Bar.
It's, and it's her one of the best. Favorite. Yeah.
How has she endured double-digit Halloweens in the United States and you've not?
That's what I said. You never got
one? Has she been to our house and not had one?
Yeah.
You gave us Snickers.
I've given you all kinds of stuff. Well, because we had the Joker passing out our candy last year, we had the Gotham Laffy Public Taffy. Works folks. We had Gotham Public Works folks, Tara and Donnie, who play Harley and the Joker, and they're going to have a little baby soon, speaking of babies.
Wow.
But because the Joker was passing out the candy, we gave him Slapsticks, Laffy Taffy.
Snickers
and...
something else with... Chuckles.
Chuckles.
Yeah, they were all laughter-related candies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now we're trying to figure out, because it's time to make the invitations, how are we going to top that?
Yeah, what's the theme for this year? I thought we had a theme. We were coming up with one.
It was, let's go to Europe.
Oh, yeah, and not be here for Halloween.
It was, let's not do
I'll
it.
I'll throw the party.
That's what we did for 4th of July. We were just like, he was like, do you really want to do 4th of July? I said, nope.
I was wondering what you guys did.
Neither. And we did. We went to Renee's.
Nice. Yeah.
And Renee made steak and salmon.
Yeah.
And it was them and us. And that was it.
Yeah.
And it was awesome because someone else cooked.
Yeah.
I didn't have to clean up tables or pool or squirt guns off my backyard.
I went to my friend Billy's and did the same thing. He cooked.
None of it.
Made turtle burgers.
Uh-huh. Disgust.
With their burgers with bacon wrapped around like a shell. It's all woven together. And then hot dogs in as the legs and arms.
Oh, wow.
I have never heard of such a thing.
Meat critters.
That is boys. That is a boy's amazing. Have you ever had the bacon-wrapped marshmallows?
Saying that's boys, Emily was anticipating it the most.
Yeah, I bet she was. Now, have you ever had bacon-wrapped marshmallows?
Smoinks is what he calls them, yes.
Smoinks.
Yes.
So did Billy invent them?
I don't know, but he talked about them highly and called them smoinks, and I had to try one.
Smoinks. Well, what is the verdict on the bacon-wrapped? I don't eat bacon, so.
They are so good. Something about bacon and sweet really works together.
Have you tried the bacon sundae at the Burger King?
Yeah. No, I haven't tried that. Ew.
Callahan, oh, that's ew. A marshmallow's okay, but ice cream.
It's Burger King.
Oh, the Burger King was the ew. The bacon sundae.
Because I had bacon gelato, and that was good.
Disgust. You know, when we took Harley Quinn, Kevin Smith's daughter, we took her and a girlfriend out for gelato.
Where we go, Pinkberry or something?
No, it was right by his old comic book store. It was at
Mochi
Funky
or
Place.
Something like that. Yeah,
it was called something else. But it was in that college town, and they had like red bean ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah. No, not no. It was disgusting. Mm-hmm. And it was like that icy gelato, and people are coming in and they're like, oh, it's so good. And I was like, what? On what planet? That's a vegetable.
Red bean.
And you're mixing your crap.
Red bean is a Japanese dessert.
They're crazy.
It's a sweetness to it, but there's an earthiness that I can't get past in certain elements.
Hate.
See, a couple of
tastes
years
like
ago.
There's dirt in it.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, Chelsea and Ryan
like
brought over
patchouli,
a box of chocolate dipped bacon.
Yes, they did.
And they because they got it at the county fair or something like that.
And and it was actual pieces of bacon.
Yeah, enrobed in chocolate.
Really, like, enrobed in dark, melted chocolate and just left out to dry, you know, like...
See, I'm aware of it, but I can't go there because I'm afraid I might not come back.
Yeah, I'm getting to that point, too. I had a turtle burger, and I almost didn't make it.
I don't know. The sweet bacon thing, I'm staying away from. I'm telling myself it's repulsive, but then there are little voices in my head saying,
you must try.
Yes, but you know, all those Sundays when you had bacon and pancakes, and you let the bacon get all covered with maple syrup.
Oh,
You've had it before. It is not alien to you. We're just taking this to the next level. It's like, maple syrup and bacon is a gateway drug to chocolate and to bacon wrapped s'mores and everything.
I gotta make it to Voodoo Donuts someday and get that bacon maple bar that they sell.
I don't even know what Voodoo Donuts is. I like the name.
Yeah, it's a very gourmet boutique donut store, I believe, up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And, yeah, and they have, like, donuts that have cross shapes and weird designs on them. And, yeah, bacon maple bar.
Mm. Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, before I forget, I want to jump back on the Arkham thing and just clarify something from my tweets, because this was picked up on a lot of sites, and I was actually, people have asked me, are you writing the next Arkham game? And I put no. And it's like, no, I'm not. At the moment, I'm not. Mm-hmm. And people have said, everybody's speculating on it. So I just want to clear up, what's going on with that. I worked on two games with Warner Interactive and Rocksteady, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, and I had a great time and really fun experience and worked with great people and very grateful for the chance. And I honestly do not know what they're doing next, what, if anything, they're doing next. There have been sort of semi-announcements. They may do another DC-related game. It may be Batman. It may be the Justice League. It may be other characters, everything. Like, I don't know. I can say that when Arkham City came out, I did speak to some of the folks at Warner Interactive and said, should I be holding open a chunk of my schedule, for next year or the future to work on another game? And their attitude was sort of like, well, we're kind of good at this point. Mm-hmm. So, I took that for what it's worth. And that's the last I've spoken to anybody about it. And so, That's where it lies right now. I'm not saying that I'll never work on another superhero related game. It's just that since last October, that's the last I ever heard of it. So
and
that's
you have fun working on them. They're great guys. And it was a good game.
Yeah. So that's it.
Oh, you're still friends with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's about it.
Okay. So. Well, good story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's been no behind the scenes drama. Nothing else going on.
No, you don't know. You're not a drama piggy like that. You just like, I've got a girlfriend named Anne, and she calls people who just get out of control over everything, she's like, little drama piggies rolling in the sloppy drama. She's like, I cannot with it. Actually, Carol Ann is the one that says, I can't with it. Yeah. But anyway, she can't with it, which is a great tool. I'm sorry, I can't with your bullshit right now. I can't with it. It just stops it in its tracks. Stop, take it away.
Yeah.
But anyway, Anne says drama piggies, and you're so not a drama piggy. You are such an easygoing dude, and you are so easy to get along with, and you just do your work, and you do a damn good job, and you're just happy.
Yeah,
you really are. You know, like I was teasing him when we first started about saying, I am a nice man. He really is, and it's really fascinating because you always hear, well, good guys finish last. Well, that's not the case. If you are really good at what you do and you make nice relationships, they come back to you again and again. And especially if you produce on time and you do very good work like you do. And you're so amenable. Like there are so many people that you work with and around who argue online and they do all this stuff for PR.
Life's too short.
Exactly. But I mean, it's just like when you're home, you don't want it in your life. Like you don't, essentially, like Ruth always says, don't get any on you. You know, and it's just like you don't get it on you. And when people around you act dramatic, you just go, okay, I get it. And I hear your viewpoint. And I'm going to step two steps away. And we're going to resolve this like grown people, And it's so fun and interesting to watch you because we're surrounded by toys. We got a 5.5-foot basket of first grade superhero toys in our living room. Mm-hmm. And yet you are such a grown up. And you are so, so you have a really nice balance of being able to tap into being childlike, but not childish.
Well, if somebody, came in here and say, what do you need that junk for? And
I don't. I just want it.
It's like, it's bright, it's colorful, it's artistic, and why not? Who doesn't want that around?
Been there for months, too. We just can't bring ourselves to open it.
Well, once you open it, you got to deal with it.
Well, there's that, too. We don't really have anywhere to put it. And right now, people keep walking in going, whoa, damn, why do you have that? Who was just here the other day and said, where did that come from?
Was that Jane, my sister?
Mm-mm. Yes, but it was someone like, no, it wasn't family. It was someone who was here for the first time. I'm trying to remember who it was. It doesn't matter. Anyway. Oh, I know who it was. It was Colette.
Sunderman. Oh, yeah. Colette Sunderman.
She walked in and was like, why is that in your living room? She said, who is that for? I think everyone who walks in our house secretly hopes it's for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
It's a lovely parting gift.
It's like, Peter, I cannot begin to thank you. It was just the funniest thing. Mm-hmm. He got all welled up and the music came and it was just, oh, well, Uncle Paul and Aunt Misty.
It reminds me of when I was a kid, they would have local kid shows. And the whoever the local host was, that was
your dad was a local host for a while.
Yeah, but it wasn't a kid show. It was a singing show.
Did he ever have his face in one of those stars?
Yes, he did. That was the opening best. of the show.
It Do you know like, what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like in the old black and white shows, they put little stars and they put like just their cutout heads.
Yeah,
it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
He
in
came
my life.
On after Huckleberry Hound in Massachusetts.
I just got an idea. Yeah. I'll tell you about it after.
And we have that show poster of him in the other room. You know?
Yeah, that's from Chetty's Donuts.
Yeah, Chetty's Donuts sponsored his show on the radio.
We've got one of his. Have you ever seen it? Mm-mm. Yeah, we have in the other room. We have one of his old. Well, Paul's just said that an old show poster of his dad's. He's being all handsome and young and singy.
But I remember when they used to do there in San Francisco. There was a show that I vaguely remember called Mayor Art, and Mayor Art was supposedly the mayor of Cartoon Town in San Francisco, and he had like a prize vault or a prize closet or something, and you just waited for him to open the prize closet because, you know, he would open it up and some kid would get something from the prize vault.
Wow.
And there'd be all these cool toys there, and it was probably a bunch of junk. But you
did
know,
the kids get to pick what they got out.
Yeah, they got to pick a toy. You know,
oh and, man! And like if remember, he drew your name, you got to pick something.
And before that, when we lived in Boston, Bruce, my brother Bruce, and I were on the Bozo the Clown show in Boston.
You were?
Yeah, and that was the
did
same.
Did you punch him in the face on camera?
No, we didn't. We just sat there and just took it.
Was it fun?
No, you know, because it was.
It wasn't fun.
It was, again, it was this thing like where it looked like a lot of fun to be, you know, as a kid because, again, they had like the prize vault there. They had, you know, a wall of prizes and there was like they had games and a kid got to be in a game and get a prize and everything like that. And,
yeah.
And so as a kid, it would be like, you know, I'd watch a show every day and I'd go like, boy, if I ever get on the Bozo show, my hand's going to be first up to get on the game and I'm going to do the game and I'm going to get a prize. And I thought, you know. There's a bunch of kids in the audience, but they also use a bunch of kids for the games. I just got to get on there and get a prize. How awesome would it be to get a prize? And so my dad got tickets to be on the Bozo for us to be on the Bozo show. We went down there, and the TV station looked weird to me. It was weird seeing like everything that looked so colorful and bright, you know, all in shadow and everything, mm-hmm. and it just looked weird to me. And
freaked
then
you out.
Yeah, and then.
Circus at all.
And then it's like, okay, you bring the kids in here, sit them down here. We're all sitting real tight together. The lights are on our face. And okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're going to use these kids over on the other side of the stage. Those are going to be the prize kids. It's aww. Like, but I'm over here. My brother's over here. At least choose him. I can beat him up later and take his prize. Yeah. And it's like, no, nobody got a prize. And then it's like, well, but everybody got a prize. It's like, reach under your seat. You've got a prize bag. It was a plastic bag. It's like, watch Bozo on Boston. And then one hostess Twinkie and a signed picture of Bozo. What a rip.
And so the kids that actually won the prizes.
I wasn't paying attention at that point.
Oh, you were so angry.
I was so angry.
Sometimes, and I think I've mentioned it on here before, we'll be watching cartoons and he starts to complain like this. And it is so funny because sometimes he'll watch cartoons and he gets real disdainful and he's blah, 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 blah. And I feel like I'm sitting next to 9-year-old Paul. Mm-hmm. I just feel like he was crotchety. Like when you were a little boy, you were a crotchety child.
I was opinionated.
Very opinionated and very angry. Just a little perturbed and just sort of disdainful about all this childish jejune nonsense. And don't they know what's good? God, he's hysterical.
Well, this
you're so funny.
It's this episode of the Archies sucks because
here we go.
It's all the animation is reused from the last episode of the Archies. And then they just redrew everything for the Brady Kids. Wow, what a cheap studio. I think we're about to... Well, what was the first song you ever heard that you excited you?
Excited me, meaning I really fell in love with the song itself. And it's, I would say it's a tie. And I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And now, do you mean first song where I had a crush on the singer? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Adam Ant's Goody Two Shoes. I had a huge crush on Adam Ant when I was like 5.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the makeup wearing little guys, I guess.
Don't drink, don't smoke. Uh-huh. What do you do?
I still love that song. I don't. I mean, you know, I'd never really my crush on Adamant never really went any farther than a piqued interest, because it was like, oh, there's that guy, he's neat, you know. It was more the song.
We used him for voices on Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, was he good?
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, I'm disappointed I never got to meet him. Oh, well, I mean, he's still alive.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I flipped out. I fangirled out. I don't think I've told anybody. Oh, I told Renee.
What?
Do you know Paul Logan? We have an actor friend named Paul Logan. He's really good friends with Tyler. And he's like a bodybuilder. I'm trying to think of what he's done so that people... familiar. You would know him if you looked him up.
Yeah.
And he's very, very nice. And he's a very good friend of Tyler and Renee's. And I was looking at his pictures on Facebook. And I see this woman. And I go, oh my God. And I like went, oh, it was Tiffany. You know the singer Tiffany?
Mm. Tiffany, yes.
I Think We're Alone Now, Tiffany?
Yeah.
They did a movie together. And he had all these pictures of them like sitting around in lawn chairs. And I was like, what? Wow. Because I was such a dork. I used to love her. And I just flipped out. Because I was like, oh, that's Tiffany. He knows Tiffany. I want to meet Tiffany. I need to know her. And then I thought, what is wrong with you? You better not ever meet her, because you're going to get all starstruck and ridiculous. But I was just like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm 1 degree away from Turfner.
Turfner. Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, it's Turfner. Yeah. Oh man, Drake Bell and I had a good time at the Spider-Man session with that nonsense.
Oh, you're doing Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, we were doing it at the rap party.
That's right.
I almost got kicked out of the Spider-Man rap party because I could not control my mouth and body.
Yep.
What?
No one cares, but I think Joe Quesada was like, is she drunk? And Jeff Loeb was like, no, she's just a silly woman.
Yeah.
I swear to God he said that.
Hey, those could be our superhero names. Nice guy, nice man and silly woman.
There we go.
Man and silly woman.
Yeah,
I like Paul Logan stars in such movies as Mega Piranha.
Yeah,
there's
he
a
does.
Mega Piranha?
Oh, get
yeah,
it, Logan.
One of those sci-fi movies. Get it's awesome.
It. Wow. He works all the time. I mean, he's always on some set.
It's a busy schedule, and he looks like he did a quite long stint on Days of Our Lives as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely a working actor, but he knows Tiffany. And that, I mean, that Mega Piranha is like a close second in how, you know, like the coolest things the dude has ever done. But knowing Tiffany, number one. Love him. I mean, he's so nice anyways, but it's just... It was just hysterical because I flipped out. I was like, I'm 1 degree away from Tiffany. I'm in Los Angeles. What is happening? I mean, it was just weird. You know, it's like when worlds collide.
Yeah.
It was just nuts. It was just because a little girl. It's like, oh, I used to love him. And I felt like, or her. Maybe she's a dude. I don't know. But
switch places with Boy George.
Yeah, totally. Girl Tiffany. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, enough. I just flipped out. I fangirled out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's not.
It's fun.
I was stalking someone on Facebook and they know someone I like to meet. That's not cool at all. Oh, I wasn't even really stalking. He like popped up.
We're all fans under the skin. We're all fans.
But I never really thought I was until I saw her picture.
Well, there you go.
But it was like because 12-year-old me was like, oh! And then I thought, why? What are you doing? You know, it's like, consider your actions. When we were out doing that street magic video on Monday...
Mm-hmm.
Renee looked at me and she's got a new saying for me. She does this sign language thing and she goes, what you're doing right now, that's an internal monologue. It's coming out of your mouth. It needs to stop coming out. And so she'll look at me like when I'm talking and she draws a circle around her forehead and she'll draw a circle around her forehead and tap it and she'll go, internal. Internal. Bring it back in. Suck those words back in. Stop
Use talking. Your inside voice. As
no, it's
inside
not inside,
it's
inside
your
head. Yeah, yeah, it's, oh, God.
Like the one that nobody
so
can
funny.
Hear except you.
Did you realize you said that out loud?
Yeah, she's just like, internal monologue. That one's coming out. Stop it. I cannot express my gratitude enough. I put out an APB and I was like, guys, we're shooting at Hollywood and Highland. Come down. And people did.
Wow.
My friend Steve Waldinger brought his friend Alyssa down.
Mm-hmm.
And, Donovan and his wife Sarah came down. Donovan Jones, he listens to our podcasts. Mm-hmm. He's always on the yep. They came down. They were on their honeymoon from Kentucky.
Wow.
And they got to do two things. The first thing they did was they went to Rob Paulsen's Animaniacs sing-along.
Which was amazing.
And then the other thing was they did a ton of stuff. This isn't just, you know, but I mean, it's just like I think about the random stuff that happened to them that they got to do while they were here that even LAE-ins would be like, wow, how did you do that? You know, and you know, like my thing, they did a bunch of things, but they just happened to be in town and they were game. They were like, hey, we're not doing anything. We'll come down.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is cool. You know, and then Renee and Trish and Trish Alasky came down and she actually was my magic assistant. And she was I was so grateful to have her there. She also body shielded me from a heckler.
Nice.
So I was super grateful for that as well. She's my shield. She protects me. And I mean, it was just, and we saw Elliot. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was really, and Lysander mm-hmm. helped. Mm-hmm. Renee's mm-hmm. son, Renee and Tyler's yeah. son, Lysander helped. And it was just so nice to feel so supported by nice people, and what we did on the street was well received. We can post a link to the video if they want to see it.
Yeah.
But we just horsed around. I went downtown and did magic tricks for people I didn't know. And there's actually a video that I didn't post of me doing a floating rose for Chewbacca, Darth Vader, and Hello Kitty.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? And Darth Vader is like, the force is strong with this one.
I told that story in recording today.
Did they die?
Henry got a big charge out of it because he wrote all those Clone War episodes.
Oh, he did? That's right. Yeah. That's right. And that's when funny.
I said Vader went, the force is strong in this one. He thought it was very funny.
It's on your phone. You could have showed it to him.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could have.
It's still on your phone.
Oh,
because we had to tape it on Paul's phone. My iPhone has 3,000 pictures on it.
Oops. Well, you need to back that up.
It's backed up. It's just not cleared.
Then just clear it. Just
I got to clear my cache. Are you done with these people?
Well, I want to go back and finish up the last of the lemon meringue pie.
The last of the Mohicans.
Yes.
Where did you get a lemon meringue pie?
Rashi had it.
Oh.
For being a sourpuss.
Was that your reward?
It was a blue ribbon something or other, but I didn't see it. I was more interested in the pie.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Well, enjoy your pie.
Thank you.
And are you fine, Ezra? Yeah. We didn't even ask you how you were today.
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah. Okay. Emily's not here, as everyone can tell, because she got an actual gig doing coloring on a comic book. Two
issues. Yay! Yay for Emily! Yes. Doing what? I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Two issues of a comic book. I don't know whether I could say what it is yet.
She says it's okay.
But yeah, so she's starting to get her actual
work. Two full issues
of
a book?
Of two comic books, yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah,
was
it
that 40-some pages?
Yes, at least.
She's got a good page rate.
One of them is 24 pages, the other is 22. So, yeah.
Is she paid by the book or by the page?
Page.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a nice starting point, and it's just the beginning. I know a lot more is
coming. Oh, yeah, of course. Well, she's so good.
Yeah.
She's so good. So, all right. Well, Paul's going to sleep.
No, I'm not.
You are. So
I'm not.
He says it all the time. I'll be talking to him. Yeah, he does that. I'll be talking to him, and I'm like, dude, you're sleeping. And he's like, what? Well, no, I'm listening to you.
I'm looking forward to this weekend. Really not. We both worked unbelievably hard this summer.
I know, I got to work tomorrow morning before we even go.
I know, and I've got
on the back of my eyelid.
My mom used to say, I'm watching eyelid theater. That's what she used to tell us when we were little. Go in there. Well, I am in bed. You need to watch some eyelid theater.
Theater?
There's nothing good on.
It's the same stuff every day.
So boring.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
I love eyelid theater.
Eyelid theater. My mom had some good ones. She used to sing hymns in the hallway and just scream them to wake us up. Rise, shine, give God that glory, glory, children of the Lord.
Or your mom just wailing, will the circle be unbroken?
Thump, 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 as everybody's pillows flew into the hallway.
May the circle be unbroken. Mm-hmm. Did that get you out of bed in the morning?
No, rise, shine, give God that glory.
Rise, is that
so? Your mom was Ethel Merman?
I was just going to say, I don't know why my mom kind of sounded like Ethel Merman. Oh, man. I'm leaving Roberts. I have voice lessons on Monday, and my voice teacher's name is Robert. And I'm in there horsing around with Robert. He had me doing something. And I was doing my bad Ethel Merman.
Wow.
And he was like, I know, it's awful. And he goes, oh, you know who'd really like to hear your Ethel Merman impression? And I said, who? And he goes, that woman right there. And I walk out and it's Lane Bradbury, who's like a Broadway legend and worked with Ethel. And I'm going, oh, I'm a crawl out. And Robert's like, yeah, you crawl out. You want the back door? Go that way.
He loves it. You just shrink down.
A-hole. And I was like, oh, man. That was embarrassing. But she's so nice. She has the lesson after mine. And she shook my hand last week. And, you know, we were talking about a couple of things. And she's just, you know, it is amazing when you meet legends like that. Like when I met Siegfried. Just so warm and personable, completely engaged. You're the only other person in the room. And they just have this charismatic, inclusive quality that I don't know if it's learned or if it's just who they are. Like, they just can't even help but be a star because it's just what they are. And it's just remarkable to meet people like that. And they're so warm and open, whereas you meet somebody who's, like, climbing their way up and they're too insecure to give you the time of day. And it's really remarkable, like, the longer I've been in L.A.
The more effusive you are. I mean, you know, I've seen you just radiate, become radiant when
That didn't even have anything to do with what I was talking about. But
no,
thank
but you.
You
become radiant when people meet
I think
you.
He's trying to say you're the same way.
Yes.
Oh, what a nice thing to say. I didn't get that.
Whereas me, I'm, you
I was
know,
like, what is he
I'm really
talking
downbeat
about
when,
other people? Huh?
I'm really downbeat when people meet me. I've seen some guys like walk out of a, you know, it was like this was Jerry Orbach when, and I used to see him on Broadway a number of times. And, and like if I was passing by a theater where he was performing, he would come out after a show, and you just knew the guy was charismatic and a star, and he'd come out and was like, hey, so good to see you. Come on over here. And just really gregarious, you know, generous fellow. And so many actors I know are like that. You're that way and everything.
Oh,
I'm much more downbeat. It's sort of like, oh, hey, how
you
how
are not a stoner when you meet people.
I'm not. No, I'm not a stoner. It's just like downbeat. It's like, hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
No. You are very... very charismatic.
Oh.
People are drawn to you.
Why?
I don't know why. Probably because you're wonderful.
Well, thank you. You're
yes.
doing wonders for my self-esteem. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean it.
I'm shy when I meet people.
You're not shy.
A little bit shy.
Nope. You're not. You're very nice.
Okay, I try to be.
You try to be shy?
No, I try to be nice.
You're very nice.
I try to be open and nice and always have something to say other than just... I like your TV show, and I think it's really cool.
You did that at the Magic Castle that one time.
I mean,
time.
I did it
did,
one
did he tell
time.
That story? Tony Shalhoub at the
yes,
Magic
yes,
Castle?
Yes, he did.
It's Tony Shalhoub. What do I say to him? I want to talk to him. And I said, just whatever you do, you could tell him, you know, like talk about the decor, talk about this, talk about that. He goes, I like Monk. And Tony Shalhoub walked away. I said, you idiot. It was like, I liked The Wizard of Oz. I liked The Tin Man. Like that kid on, you know, A Christmas Story. He was like,
yeah.
Just whatever you do, don't say, I like Monk. And I was like, oh my God.
You know, I did
and
the
Tony
same.
And Tony Shalhoub said, oh, thank, he was very gracious. He goes, thank you so much. Excuse me.
I did the same thing in New York a few months ago when I met Rachel Dretch. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Scott adds it introduces me to Rachel
hey,
Dretch.
We got both Scott and Trish in this
yeah,
podcast.
And, you know, I'm sitting there having a drink with Scott and he had just performed with Rachel and I go, whatever you do, say something nice and cool because, you know, you love SNL and everybody on that. And it's like, and just come up, and I got the perfect opener. It's like, oh, you're really good. Okay, that went great.
Did you say it just like that? Because that's a yes. massive one. Oh, no, like live. All righty then.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I took my diaper off. Wow. It is full of shrimp.
Okay.
Okay, he's mad now. Okay. Let's end the podcast
okay,
on that.
Okay, everyone, time for some eyelid theater.
Yeah.
Time for some eyelid theater, and yeah, some, I think so.
Some lemon meringue pie.
Yes.
All right.
And these boots are made for walking.
And a diaper full of shrimp. A
diaper full of shrimp. That's not our gag.
No.
I have to give credit for that.
No, you don't.
Next year.
Yep.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye, everybody. See you next time.
Wow.
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changin'. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. you keep playing where you shouldn't be playing. And you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots? Start walking.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/Radio Rashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.